Oh, thank you very much. What a beautiful message before Shavuos. A lot of flying purple elephants in Broadway in that year. That was fantastic. A lot to Oh, am I muted? Okay, now I just gave a whole Megillah while I was muted. But Yasher Koach, that was a really wonderful shiur, and a lot of flying purple elephants in that shiur. Something that a lot to take home with us, Baruch Hashem. So thank you for your clarity, for your passion, and for inspiring us as Lekros Kabbalas HaTorah. Again, no one should feel obligated to stay on for my 10-minute little spiel. I just wanted to give a little Dvar Torah as well, but I want to thank Rabbi Sultan for coming and sharing his Torah with us this evening. Should continue to be Matzliach and be Marbitz Torah for many decades ahead, and bring Nachas to our entire yeshiva in so doing. I just want to share with you one vart that somebody, and I see that must be his parents. You should have a lot of nachas from Ike, from the whole mishpacha. I'm sure you do already, and you should continue to have nachas. I just want to share one idea, one vart that someone had sent to me today that I think may help frame the yontif that we're about to experience, and particularly in the way that we're about to experience it, in a very different kind of way than we're accustomed to. So I mentioned in a recent shiur that this is what we have now coming up. Gavri Butler mentioned to me is like the opposite of a Daf Yomi coincidence. That Daf Yomi coincidence is when the Daf Yomi works out that like you learn something that relates to that day, at the perfect time. We have the opposite of Daf Yomi coincidence, because the Matan Torah Gemaras are like 3 days after Shavuos. Shabbos Daf Pei Ches that Rabbi Sultan just quoted, 3 days after Shavuos. Like we just missed it. So it's the opposite of a Daf Yomi coincidence. So someone emailed me back, no, that's the best Daf Yomi coincidence, because that means that Matan Torah has to stick with you, that it's not just for that day, that it says Matcha Kabbalah Satorah 3 days after Shavuos as it is on Shavuos itself. Okay, so if you're such a big Baal Musar, so then it's Daf Yomi coincidence. One of the things that the Gemara says over there in Shabbos Daf Pei Ches about the experience of Kabbalah Satorah is the Gemara tells us that when two different statements in the name of Rabbi Shur ben Levi and a fellow by the name of Rabbi Buxpan sent me this Dvar Torah, and I'm grateful to him for it because I think it's an important idea, or two important ideas. Rabbi Shur ben Levi says two different things in Shabbos Daf Pei Ches Amud Beis as far as how we reacted when we heard the Dvar Hashem, when we heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu share with us the first two Dibros. First, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said each of the Aseres Dibros, and our neshamos left us. Our neshamos, parcha neshmasan, our neshamos left our bodies. We couldn't handle it till we had to be revived. We needed to have a tchias amesim. Second, the very next statement that Rabbi Shimon Levi says, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said each of the Aseres Dibros, we retreated Yud Beis Mil. We jumped back 12 mil. So the obvious question is, well, which was it? Was it Parcha Neshmasan? Did we die? Or did we retreat 12 mil? And if it's both, then why both? Meaning, well, what are we trying to express over here with these two different reactions? So on the simplest level, and one approach could be that they're both true. It all depended on who you were, on who was on the receiving end of the Dvar Hashem. Maybe those who were completely receptive, who had prepared themselves throughout the days leading up to Kabbalah Satorah, and were totally open to fully imbibe the Dvar Hashem, maybe Parcha Neshmasan, it had the maximum impact it ever could have had for those who were totally, completely prepared for it, and they had to be subsequently revived. But for others, maybe they were not as ready to receive the Dvar Hashem. And of course, it was an overwhelming experience, but they didn't die from it. Their neshama didn't leave from it. Instead, they were terrified and they jumped back in fear. And the idea that this highlights is that while Matan Torah may be the same for everybody, Kabbalah Satorah is not the same for everybody. It's interesting, on Shavuos we refer to it as Zman Matan Torasenu, not Zman Kabbalas Torasenu. I would think we should emphasize us. We should emphasize our role. Our role is being Mekablei HaTorah. No, but it's Matan Torasenu, because the only thing that was absolutely universal was Matan Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it the same way to all of us. Kabbalas HaTorah, that was up to us. How we were going to receive it, that's up to each and every individual. And one of the challenges of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, particularly when people can't get together with other people on their basic level, which is normally what happens on Shavuos night. The teenagers have their program, and kids that are in this class and that Rebbe's class have their program, and they do their learning in preparation of their final, and eating cheesecake for three quarters of the night, or whatever. You know, everyone does everything on their own level. And the people who can learn b'chavrusa the whole night learn b'chavrusa, and the people who like listening to the shiurim and shul, they listen to the shiurim, everyone on their own level. And here we are, in a situation where we're going to be mekabel the Torah and experiencing the Kabbalah Torah within our family units, within whoever lives in our house. And sometimes the people that live in our house are 2 years old, and sometimes they're 82 years old, and sometimes under the same roof you have people of varying degrees of commitment to Torah learning, varying degrees of excellence in Torah learning. And part of our job is to be able to be mekabel the Torah on multiple levels simultaneously within a single home. To be able to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's being nosing the Torah, we have to figure out how to be mekabel that Torah and make sure that everybody that lives under our roof is mekabel the Torah on the level that they're ready to be mekabel the Torah. And on that level, I just want to make another push. I know I did already, but I'm going to make another push, and I'll probably do it again tomorrow in our pre-Shavuot Zoom. Another push for those who have not yet signed up for the Smichas Chaver Shavuot program. What Rav Eliyadah Goldwicht put together for Shavuos is just a fantastic, fantastic resource to be able to use to engage everybody, literally everybody in the family, young and old, Tamil Chacham Amar, it doesn't matter. Everybody will be engaged from the Torah and will be able to be mekabel the Torah together. As the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nosing the Torah, we will all be able to be mekabel the Torah. But then there's another way to reconcile these two passages of Rabbi Shimon Levi, these two statements of Rabbi Shimon Levi. And that is that maybe they're not saying two different things. Maybe they're just two ways of expressing the same exact thing. See, Yud Beis Mil is an important measurement in halacha. Throughout Shas, we have different spaces that one is associated with. Meaning one is not only associated with themselves and the actual spot on the ground, on this earth that you're standing on, we're actually associated with some space that's around us. We have the concept of Dalad Amos Shel Adam that could be Kona for you, that works by Gittin as well, that a person's four Amos can work for Kinyanim and can work for Gittin. We have a concept of Alpayim Amma, 2,000 Amos of Tchum Shabbos, and when a person goes outside of 2,000 Amos on Shabbos is a violation of Tchum Shabbos on a Rabbanan level, but the maximum impact, the maximum, shouldn't say impact, the maximum space that a person can include within his own sphere of influence, with his own experience, is Yud Beis Mil. That's the Tchum D'Oraisa on Shabbos. Yud Beis Mil is as far as I can go. I can't be beyond Yud Beis Mil from where I am right now. And maybe what Chazal are telling us, maybe what Rabbi Shimon Levi is telling us, in two different ways, but it's the same idea, is that sometimes in order to be mekabel the Torah, we need to become different. We need to go outside of ourselves. We need to redefine ourselves. And you know, it's ironic because, you know, this in this year when we're experiencing a Kabbalah Satorah, in our own homes, where we're mamish staying within our Dalet Amos, you know, there's in halacha we have such an idea that beiso shel adam, the Mishnah Berurah talks about as far as Netilas Yadayim, it comes up elsewhere also that beiso shel adam is considered Dalet Amos, right? So we haven't left our Dalet Amos in so long. We're staying within our Dalet Amos, but on an emotional level, we've gone Yud Beis Mil. We've had to reassess the whole way that we live our lives. Everything we experience is entirely, we as people are using the expression, we've hit the reset button on our entire lives. And that primes us for a Kabbalah Satorah. Because to be a Kabbalah Torah doesn't just mean, oh, now I'm going to learn Torah, now I'm going to keep Torah, now I'm going to observe this mitzvah. No, being a Kabbalah Torah means now I become a Ben or Bas Torah. It's not what I do, it's what I become. Someone sent me today, one of my wonderful Talmidim, colleagues, Rabbi Meir Simcha Stromer, who's a Rebbe in Chicago, sent me today that there was a study that he saw they did in California, where they called up a couple of hundred people, and to half the people they asked the poll question, they said they were polling, how important do you think it is to vote in the upcoming election? And the other half of the people, they said, how important do you think it is to be a voter? To be a voter. And then they tracked who voted. And there was twice as many people that when they were asked, how important is it to be a voter that actually went out and voted, than those who were asked, how important is it to vote in the upcoming election? You see, the difference is very subtle. Voting, okay, to vote, that's something that I do. To be a voter, now I'm defining myself. That's how I define my being. That's how I define my essence. Kabbalah HaTorah is going outside of whatever Yud Beis meal we set up for ourselves in advance. It's Parcha Nishmasan, our neshama leaves us. It's a Tchias HaMeisim. It's an absolute redefining of the person. And that's what we're expected to do, not just to experience a great day and a good yantif and good food and enjoy time with family, that too. But it's to be able to define ourselves by the Torah that we're being mekabel. So if I could again just leave us with these two thoughts. And again, this is not my Dvar Torah. I want to thank Rabbi Buxban for this Dvar Torah. But these two thoughts. The one idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah universally, but we each received the Torah on our own level, and now it's our achrayus going into this yantif to make sure that we receive the Torah and that everyone in our family receives the Torah on the level that they're ready to receive it on. And then second, to realize that the day that we're about to experience of Kabbalah HaTorah is not just a day of commitment to do, which it is that na'aseh, that is certainly a part of Kabbalah HaTorah, na'aseh v'nishma, but it's not just a commitment to do, it's a commitment to become. It's a parcha nishmasan. It's going outside of whatever artificial Yud Beis meal we set up for ourselves and defining us ourselves totally and completely by the Dvar Hashem, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful Yantif, and I want to thank Rabbi Sultan again for his inspiring Shir and Divrei Torah, and Bez Hashem, we should be able to participate together in many Torah programs in the future. Okay, have a wonderful, wonderful evening, everybody.